Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. In yesterday's show, we opened by asking the question, why do so many Mormons feel so guilty? And we brought up the fact that back in the February 2017 issue of Ensign Magazine, there was an article that was written by a therapist who talks about the struggles that Mormons do have. And then we also brought up yesterday another article that showed up in the Ensign Magazine, the September 2017 edition, titled A Better Way to Measure Myself, written by a Mormon woman by the name of Heather J. Johnson. And she talked about when she was serving as a missionary for the LDS Church, she struggled with questions like, am I doing enough? Am I doing all the specific things God wants me to accomplish as a missionary? In other words, she was experiencing the anxiety of what I explained yesterday to be the results of what happens when you try to use law as a means of satisfying the requirements you think God has for you.
This sentence is so very important that after she asks those questions, she says, I worry that despite my working hard and striving to be obedient, my imperfections and mistakes made my sacrifice in serving not as acceptable as it might have been. It sure seems, Bill, like she's living a life of guilt during her mission because she could never do enough.
And as I brought out yesterday, that's exactly what Paul said a person will experience, according to Romans 3:20. You will never feel justified by following the works of the law. And as I mentioned, Paul was certainly talking about the Mosaic law in that context, but Mormonism has its own sets of laws, primarily celestial law. If a Mormon hopes to receive exaltation and all the perks that come with it, being with your family, being able to procreate throughout eternity, and so on and so on and so on, there are certain things that are required. This is known as personal salvation. There is no denying that in Mormonism, it has taught through its entire history that there are certain requirements if a Mormon hopes to experience exaltation. There are certain requirements if they are even to experience the joy of forgiveness of sins. They must repent, which means abandoning their sin, all of their sin, and then keeping all of the commandments. This is why an individual like Heather Johnson felt the way she did. Now, when she said she felt comfort by a comment made by a 70 by the name of Brent Nielsen, where the question was asked, why do you want to pay for your sins when the Savior has already paid for them? That's the whole irony of this. In Mormonism, the atonement of Christ doesn't pay for your sins until you meet all the requirements to have that payment made good.
It's a self-imposed requirement that Heather Johnson is putting on herself as given to her by her leaders. So when she says, a better way to measure myself, she's trying to figure this thing out. And the Bible tells you how you can measure yourself. It says in Romans 3:23 that you're a sinner. It says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But the second part of that verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's through receiving Jesus that you can have your sins forgiven. But a Mormon like Heather Johnson, very sincere, I'm not doubting her sincerity, but she is doing the impossible, and that's why she got so frustrated, and so that's why when she reads this article from this general authority, she embraces it.
At the end of her article, she says, often when I ask myself one of these questions, my response is something like, well, I'm trying, but it's really hard, and I don't know if I'm doing very well. But then what does she say, Eric? She refers to a conference message that was given by Mormon apostle Jeffrey Holland. And what does she say referring to that talk that Holland gave?
She says, at those times, I take comfort in what Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles taught, quote, the great thing about the gospel is we get credit for trying, even if we don't always succeed, end quote. Sincerely trying to live the gospel is living the gospel.
Would Spencer W. Kimball say that, the 12th president of the church?
No, I mean on page 164, he says, trying is not sufficient, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin. And then on page 165, he says, to try is weak, to do the best I can is not strong, you must always do better than you can.
Now, if a Mormon was to hear Jeffrey Holland say that you get credit for trying, wouldn't you think that a Mormon would be more likely to embrace what Holland is saying rather than what Spencer Kimball has said?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly.
But here's the question that I have. What is Holland talking about when he talks about credit? Now, we asked that question when we did a series on Holland's message. He doesn't explain what this credit is. If you're playing, for instance, a video game and you're doing very well at this video game, you oftentimes will get a credit. A credit will be added to your score. Maybe that score is necessary, that credit is necessary to reach a certain score so that you perhaps win the game and achieve the goal that you're trying to achieve while playing that game. But what did Holland mean by that? He did not explain. Are you saying that, okay, if I get, let's say, 5 credits for trying, but it's going to cost 1,000,000 credits in order to receive exaltation, what are those 5 credits really going to mean in the grand scheme of things?
I remember when I was a teacher, I would offer extra credit, and the extra credit was not allowed to add up to more than 2% of a student's grade, but students would do everything they could to get that and think they were doing something special when it really didn't affect, because the best they could do was 100%, and rare was a student that had at least a 98%. They could try as hard as they wanted. They were not going to get complete credit. The thing about that talk, we went over the verses that he used, and they were all taken out of context. So Jeffrey Holland comes up with this idea of credit for trying without really having any scriptural proof that that is true.
I just wish he would have defined what the credit is. That's where I was just baffled. As I mentioned before, I can understand why a Mormon would gravitate towards what he said. I can understand why Heather Johnson would gravitate and include Jeffrey Holland's comments in her piece. But I would like to know, Heather, what is the credit he's talking about? What credit are you getting for trying? Are you telling me that just because you're failing at accomplishing what your church tells you is required, that that is somehow living the gospel? Now, that sounds cute, because she says that. Sincerely trying to live the gospel is living the gospel? Is that what Mormon leaders of the past have said? They usually define living the gospel as doing exactly what you're supposed to do, not coming short of what you're supposed to do, and that's what trying really is all about, coming short of accomplishing the goal. If Holland's going to say that a Latter-day Saint gets credit for trying, I think he owes it to the Mormon people to explain exactly what that means, and unfortunately, he did not do that in that sermon.
But Mormons have taken that and interpreted that as the way they want it to be. And so I've actually had this used twice on me in public conversations with people on the street, and they've used the credit for trying. And so we get into this idea, and I ask them, what exactly do you mean by it? Well, they say that they are doing their very best, and that's all that God expects. But that's certainly, as you mentioned, Bill, not what other leaders have said, and especially it's not what the standard work says.
I don't see anywhere in the standard works anything that goes along with what Jeffrey Holland said. I see in the standard works, for instance, that you are supposed to keep the commandments continually, according to D&C 2515. If you do not keep the commandments continually, where God is, you cannot go, it says. I see in the Doctrine and Covenants, again in section 1, verse 32, that you must repent of your sin, you must keep the commandments, and then you get the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin is absolutely essential if a Mormon hopes to achieve exaltation. Now, I would assume by the opening lines of this article by Heather Johnson, A Better Way to Measure Myself, that she probably doesn't feel that she has a complete forgiveness of her sin. Why else would she quote Brent Nielsen, who said, why do you want to pay for your sins when the Savior has already paid for them? I would say, how would Brent Nielsen know that the Savior paid for Heather J. Johnson's sins if he doesn't know what sins Heather J. Johnson is struggling with? The only way, according to Mormonism, that Jesus paid for Heather J. Johnson's sins are the sins that she's already met the requirements for him to cover in the Mormon atonement. Mm-hmm. You see this horrible hamster wheel that Mormonism puts on its people. They just keep going and keep going and keep going, and they are getting nowhere.
Well, in Mormonism, the idea of grace is an enabling power to be able to do the things that you're supposed to do. And she alludes to that on page 21, the very last paragraph. She says, as we live the gospel, Jesus Christ enables us to do things we could not do on our own. We can go on missions, take challenging classes, explore our hidden talents, and take on new opportunities with confidence in our Savior and His ability to help us, forgive us, and make things right. So this idea of getting this forgiveness by helping her and other Latter-day Saints to do everything they're supposed to do. But as the subtitles on this article says, I was focused on my mistakes and convinced I hadn't lived up to God's expectations. Well, Heather, the reason why is you're human and you're sinful. You're not able to do everything. Even if Jesus helps you, you can't do it all because He did it all. And He said it is finished on the cross.
But yet she does not look at what Christ did as being all sufficient in the problem that she has.
No.
When she says, as we live the gospel, Jesus Christ enabled us to do things we could not do on our own. Well, what are the things that you're supposed to do that you cannot do on your own? I think the Doctrine and Covenants makes it very clear. Repent. And in the context of Mormonism, that means confess and forsake. I don't know of any Mormon leader that argues against that. They all pretty much are in line when it comes to what repentance is supposed to be. The church manuals are very consistent on this. And then it says to keep the commandments. Where are we to walk away from the Doctrine and Covenants thinking that when it talks about keeping the commandments, that it's implying that you only have to keep some of those commandments? I don't see that anywhere in their scriptures. I don't see where any leader in Mormon history that has ever gotten up, and not even Jeffrey Holland in what he did in October of 2017, did he say that you're only required to keep some of the commandments. In fact, he opened that message with the salvo saying that he didn't want to diminish from this idea that you have to keep commandments. But then he proceeds to give a message that is, in my opinion, probably one of the more confusing messages that a Mormon leader has given in a long, long time. And I would say the message that he gave in April 2016 would probably come right behind this one.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since it was first released back in 2009, the book, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, has helped many Christians better understand what Mormon leaders and manuals have taught regarding the Mormon faith. Compiled by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever, the new enlarged and expanded edition comes with a CD that includes a searchable PDF version of the book. In Their Own Words is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there in Salt Lake City, or order it directly online at mrm.org.